are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, December 9th, 2019. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America. Downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, impeachment moves ahead with evidentiary arguments presented by Republican and Democratic lawyers from both the House and Intel committees. Meanwhile, our generation's Pentagon Papers show the failure and futility of the 18-year-old Afghan war. Back in D.C., Bill Barr setting the table to serve Rudy on a silver platter. Took everything I could to risk the temptation of combining the bus and the platter and the table metaphors. Meanwhile, Bill Barr is about to be embarrassed himself by his own DOJ's Investigators of the Investigators report being released today. The first of two. And in the wake of the House Democrats passing a Voting Rights Act fix, House progressives may sink a drug bill after Pelosi kiboshes the ability for Medicare to bargain for drugs. Meanwhile, India poised to keep Muslims from becoming citizens as part of an ongoing project to marginalize tens of millions of Muslims in that country. Back here, Elizabeth Warren earned $65,000 a year over the course of two decades, working on bankruptcy payouts for corporate malfeasance. Congress and White House strike a deal for paid leave. Kansas City votes to make public buses free.
Hell yeah.
Let's do this. If Kansas City can do it, New York can do it. Man, all this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up. We got a lot of news. All right, let me just keep you abreast of what has happened so far today. We watched this morning live. If you were with us, we didn't make a big deal out of it. We weren't sure we were going to do it. I do want to get Caster, like, bringing his grocery bag into the hearing. I have a feeling that's done to make him seem like a regular guy.
It's like he pulled it out of Scotty B's pickup truck.
Yeah, exactly. Except for one wonders why I didn't use a plastic bag. But we'll get there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So this morning we heard Steve Caster. He is the Republican attorney, staff attorney for both the House and the Intelligence Committees. He and Barry Burke, who is the House Judiciary Committee lawyer, they testified first, and they basically just laid out how the day was going to go, I guess, more or less. And then Daniel Goldman came in and testified on behalf of the Intelligence Committee. Then Steve Caster came in again as in a different role. That is the lawyer for the Intelligence Committee. He has not testified yet. They're on a break. Maybe they're coming back about now. And he's just going to talk some jibber jab. We have a little bit of what he says up front. I mean, look, if you want a succinct 45-minute version of the case against Donald Trump, you go back, you watch the last 45 minutes of our coverage this morning. It is Daniel Goldman walking through the whole thing. Barry Burke has a more sort of like a poetic version of this earlier, but the prose really comes from Goldman. I mean, that's the TikTok, as it were. And it's pretty complete. Steve Castor just had basically, we're going to poo-poo this more than anything else. And that's what it was. And we'll get to that in a bit. And I'll talk about it. I was on the Hills, The Rising this morning. And Crystal Ball and I, Sagar didn't really bring up much, but Sagar rather. But Crystal Ball and I also talked about impeachment. She's more skeptical than I am about it. But I will reiterate some of that in a bit. I mean, the skepticism, you know, certainly something that people are aware of. We'll talk more about impeachment as we go along. Welcome. It's going to be another one of those weeks. We are also, I should tell you, 10 days away from the last debate of 2019. I suspect there's going to be more in 2020. I just am not aware of them. But we will have a debate in a week or so. It'll be a week from Thursday. We will cover the debate live. It'll be the final debate, like we said, of 2019. We are now about 2 months out from the Iowa caucus. I think it's the February 12th. Not 100% sure about that. And things are heating up. We will talk about the campaign today. Pete Buttigieg seems to be having a little bit of trouble, you know, in terms of things like transparency, things like getting his story straight. We will talk about that as well. We'll talk about Elizabeth Warren's release of her work that she did for as an attorney. I think contemporaneous while she was teaching, of course, as a law professor. That happens quite often. What she did with these cases, getting paid primarily by corporations in this instance. However, I think in closer examination, it's not necessarily work that she should have a problem with. I think that's probably why she was transparent about it. We'll also talk about this paid leave that I would be shocked if it happens, but maybe it will. That would be good. And we're anticipating the release of the Inspector General report from the Department of Justice on the appropriateness of the FBI's seeking a FISA warrant on members of the Trump campaign. By all accounts, it appears that the Inspector General is going to find that, yeah, they did it appropriately. Sorry, Bill Barr. And according to leaks, we don't know yet, Bill Barr's hand-picked prosecutor to get to the bottom of what is another one of these right-wing conspiracy theories, that the deep state was making contact with the Trump campaign through double agents and trying to ensnare George Papadopoulos to not, it's not 100% clear to me.
This is so deep. It's a deep state.
It's so deep. And, but apparently this Bill Barr's handpicked prosecutor. Now, we haven't seen the report yet. Well, all we've seen is sort of leaks and reports to that. And supposedly told the IG, like, there's nothing there. It turns out not to exist. So we'll see. We will get to that in a moment. But first, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, there's a huge problem with anti-Semitism. There is not only is there an election. We have, of course, an election happening in the UK this week. We also have an election happening in this country a year from now. It's a problem, apparently, with anti-Semitism on the Donald Trump ticket. And here he is speaking to some right-wing Jews at the IAC National Summit. I'm not sure what IAC stands for. I think it's the Israel Action Israel Action or Israel American Committee. I'm not 100% sure what it is. It is, but if they've invited Donald Trump to speak, it's the Israeli American Council. And in a 45-minute speech in Hollywood, Florida, the president wanted to convince the Jews, like, you only got one place to go, guys. Only, yeah, exactly. Here is Donald Trump.
A lot of you are in the real estate business because I know you very well. You're brutal killers, not nice people at all, but you have to vote for them. You have no choice. You're not going to vote for Pocahontas, I can tell you that. You're not going to vote for the wealth tax. Yeah, let's take 100% of your wealth away. No, no. Even if you don't like me, some of you don't. Some of you I don't like at all, actually. And you're going to be my biggest supporters because you'll be out of business in about 15 minutes if they get it.
This is what Jeremy Corbyn said.
Jews do love wealth. Yeah. It's true. All that filthy lucre. You can't see me, but I'm rubbing my hands together.
Well, I mean, didn't he, during the campaign, he went in front of a bunch of Jews and said, like, you want to give me your money? I'm not going to take it.
I like negotiating with you people. Toughest negotiators.
There you go. You really,
imagine
really
if Jeremy
tough.
Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn was like, the Tories actually really hate you. We merely tolerate you, so you have no choice.
Yeah, exactly.
No choice. All right, off to see Hezbollah now.
I mean, if Bernie Sanders went in front of that same thing and go, look, I know how much you like money, and you're afraid you're going to lose it with me, so.
I was more on the learning side of things.
There you go.
I go for money or learning. Though, of course, now I'm a millionaire through socialism, so maybe that's pretty good, too. Anybody want any nosh? Because you're not going to afford extra pretty soon after I'm president.
It's stunning what he gets away with on this.
Well, right-wing Jews will definitely vote for Trump regardless.
That's
so
true.
I guess he's right.
Well, and right-wing Jews will vote for any Republican. And he has delivered for them in terms of their fevered dreams regarding Israel. And it's... it's a problem. Folks, it's total coincidence. I woke up this morning, I'm like, maybe I should shave. Generally, I don't like to start off the week by shaving for no reason. But Harry's makes it so pleasant that on a rare occasion, I will shave without reason. I'm not going to get sucked into shaving on a regular daily basis. But, and the best thing about Harry's, great gift. I mean, this is like a gift that I would, if my kids got me a Harry's razor, I would be like, I would be shocked and impressed. I mean, I like it when they do a drawing for me and this and that, but, and here's the good news. For you, our listeners of my show can get $5 off of any Harry's shave set by heading to harrys.com/majority report. Your free shipping ends on December 16th, so you got to get there quick. This is a practical gift that, well, he or she, frankly, will use. With German-engineered, award-winning blades that last. They're all backed by a 100% quality guarantee. The holiday sets start at just $20. That's within Secret Santa limits. This is a good deal. I forgot about that. People at offices have Secret Santas all the time, right? This is no white elephant, as they say. Harry's blade refills are as low as $2 each, so your guy or gal will save money over time as well. I've told you a million times what my favorite aspects of my Harry's razor is. One, I love the cool sort of chrome, I don't know, classic, simple, almost postmodern handle. Oh, no, I'm sorry, mid-century modern, not postmodern. And I also, because of my nasal cavities, appreciate the trimmer blade. Those are my favorite aspects of it. Although I also love the Harry's shave cream. And as a special offer for the fans of the show, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including their limited edition holiday sets. When you go to harrys.com/majorityreport. Plus, of course, you get free shipping. Each Harry's shaving set comes with a weighted handle with the option to engrave.
Nice.
Five blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for a richer lather, travel cover to protect your blades, and it's packaged in a handsome holiday gift box. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now. Just go to harrys.com/majorityreport. That's harrys.com/majorityreport. Check it out. And while we're on my daily uses of hygiene and products, it's nice. I come into work. I'm like, I don't know what ads we're going to have. And it's a nice feeling to say, like, I just used this stuff 4 hours ago or whatever.
It was on a toothbrushing day for you?
Exactly. Once a week, I shave. Once a week, I brush my teeth.
Don't like to do it earlier in the week.
Usually I try to wait until when. No, of course not. I've been on a big, I think everybody knows I've been on a big. And when you get older, that's what happens. You got to brush your teeth more. Because you're trying to make up for the fact that you didn't do it as well as you should have when you were younger. That's basically it. Don't you make that same mistake, folks. If there's one thing that you've gotten from the 10 years of me doing this show, it is the need for dental hygiene. But this also makes for a great gift. I'm talking about Quip. Quip is something that's sure to put a smile on everyone's face. Because it's dental care people actually want to use every day. I gave my sister a Quip. I think it was for Hanukkah last year. And I got an unsolicited response from her dentist. Not directly, but through her. He said, I like what you're doing. She said it was with the Quip. He said, tell your brother. Good job. That is a true story, folks. Quip's electric toothbrush, reliable, refillable floss, and toothpaste are all intentionally designed to make good habits simple. The electric toothbrush has a sensitive sonic vibrations with a timer with 30-second pulses to guide your routine. And the Quip floss dispenser. Wait, what? I got to get on that.
I haven't heard of that.
Can Quip convince me to floss regularly?
I'm telling you, that is exactly it. Because the whole thing about dental hygiene is doing it on a regular basis. And the toothbrush has made it so much easier for me to maintain, like, I'm almost at 3 times a day now. Yes. They send refills, toothpaste refills, and recharge for the Quip and a new Quip head every 3 months. And that's why Quip is the perfect gift. You can join over 3 million happy customers. Check everyone off your list right now with Quip. It's also, it's an attractive design. And it's not huge and bulky. You can actually fit it in most of the traditional toothbrush holders that you stick on your sink. And particularly when you're living in a city, you got like the little pedestal sink and everything's falling off. You don't want one of those big monster things on there. And then you end up not using it. And then you don't. And that's what's so fantastic about Quip. It's something I use every day, multiple times a day, because it's easy and I can travel with it. So I don't break the habit of using an electric toothbrush. Go to getquip.com/majority. Save on gift sets and get your first refill pack free with a refill plan. That's your first refill free at getquip, Q-U-I-P, getquip.com/majority, getquip.com/majority. And lastly, a VPN protects your privacy and security online, but will also take your TV watching to the next level. I didn't know that we could talk about this, but this is the off-label use, but I've been using this for a long time. Look, people don't realize this. Netflix, other services, they offer different things in different countries. But when they see that your IP address comes from the States, you don't get it. Sometimes when you're on certain streaming services and you want a sports game and they say, hey, you're blacked out because you're living in the area, we can tell by your IP address.
It's just tough in New York City because there's two teams per sport, major sport, and those games are always blacked out on, like, League Pass, for instance.
Yeah, but I don't watch those. I'm a Boston fan, and there's times when that happens.
Oh, well.
So,
I'm sorry, League Pass.
Yes.
I have ExpressVPN.
With ExpressVPN, you can binge shows like Doctor Who on UK Netflix. You just use ExpressVPN app to change your location to UK. What? ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. That's a lot of different Netflix libraries, even Japanese Netflix. This is serious. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube. YouTube. I had no idea they worked with YouTube TV.
It's like a cultural passport.
Oh, man. I had no idea. I would never do that. And more. ExpressVPN is ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag. You can stream HD, no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices. Phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. I mean, look, it protects your privacy and your security online. But this is the game winner for me. Express, visit expressvpn.com/majority to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show. Watch what you want. Protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/majority. All right, let's get into the rest of this. We'll start off at the impeachment. We'll get to that that graph in a minute. But there was, I got to dig more into that. But the polling is out, and impeachment in no way is hurting the Democrats. If anything, it's helping slightly from a political standpoint. There was an attempt by this. Oh, you know what? I wanted to pull this and we don't have it. I think maybe we pulled it last time by this guy, Pasquale. He is, Brad Pasquale or something to that effect. I think he's Trump's campaign manager. And he was talking about I think it was an Oklahoma Democrat. I can't remember her name off the top of my head now. And he was trying to show polling that impeachment was hurting her. Impeachment was actually rating better in her district than she was. And everybody on Twitter who follows this guy, you know, who are campaign professionals are going, dude, what are you doing? You just tweeted out internals that show that impeachment's helping her. But nevertheless, this narrative remains. We'll talk more about it in a moment. But here is Steve Castor. Like I say, to really get the gist of what the Democrats presented today, you need to watch the whole thing. To get the gist of what the Republicans were doing, you basically, and we could play some random attempt to interrupt the proceedings. Oh, we should also play the InfoWars guy. Let's find that as well. But here is Steve Castor. He is the attorney for the Republicans showing up at the hearings for some reason with, is that a Whole Foods bag? Let's see what it is. Or is it a Price Chopper? It looks like maybe it's a Hannaford. Now, come on.
Is that his lunch?
Come on. Are we to believe that this guy's showing up with that? I don't buy it. I really don't buy it. That's a show.
Like, Republicans are the briefcase boys.
Yeah, but now he's trying to show we're like every...
Man of the people.
We're lunchbox guys.
Well, that's just weird. That's just like a bag from a grocery store.
Yeah.
He should have showed up with like a craftsman. Like,
I'm not a
hardware tool.
Well, his whole shtick is I'm just a country lawyer. And you know, I'm not a somebody.
I remember when I forgot my first Hannaford's bag for a Genovese family case that I was working on behalf.
In fact, here's play clip number two
of the Ukrainian.
I'm going to try and explain it to you so you can understand it. Yeah, Joe's got malarkey, but I got something better.
Be presenting, but again, thanks for having me. The purpose of this hearing, as we understand it, is to discuss whether President Donald J. Trump's conduct fits the definition of a high crime and misdemeanor. It does not. Such that the committee should consider articles of impeachment to remove the president from office, and it should not. This case, in many respects, comes down to eight lines in a call transcript. Let me say clearly and unequivocally that the answer to that question is no. The record in the Democrats' impeachment inquiry does not show that President Trump abused the power of his office or obstructed Congress. To impeach a president who 63 million people voted for over eight lines in a call transcript is baloney.
There you go. Hmm. It's baloney.
Wouldn't
now,
it be
of course,
great if he pulled some actual baloney out of the grocery bag to
exactly.
illustrate that point?
He should have had props.
He totally should
have done
that. I
thought he was
that.
Going with that.
It's mortadella.
And I'm going to make Swiss cheese out of this testimony.
There is not anything that he did in that presentation. He spoke for 45 minutes. And about, I would say, about 5 minutes was actually even fact-based. Everything was like that. Look, if the eight line said, I murdered somebody, well, you don't even need eight lines. Right? The number of lines in that transcript, and of course it's not about the transcript. They had over a dozen witnesses who came in and testified about something that was far greater than that. That was just the first piece of evidence that made it clear there's something wrong here. That was just the first thing that triggered the investigations from the whistleblower. The whistleblower report and the subsequent beginning launching of a House Intelligence Committee investigation were what got Donald Trump to release the aid. But that clip is what you're going to see on Fox News tonight, if you haven't seen it already. They just needed stuff to present for their alt narrative. And they got it. They got it. Do we have the InfoWars guy? This could not be more apropos of what's going on with the Republican Party. There was a protest by a young man whose name was Owen Schroyer. Owen is Alex Jones's sidekick. Nothing could be more appropriate than hear from this guy defending the president the day after the New York Times releases its piece written by a former producer at InfoWars telling the story about how they made stuff up at that show on a regular basis. Also, that it turns out that it appears, according to this story, that Alex Jones is a lunatic who has a massive drinking problem and is basically, you know, sort of like abused, has a sort of the very abusive. I'm going to be looking at it for managerial tips, actually, around these parts. Around.
Oh, you don't need to.
Tomorrow's news today.
There you go. But here is Owen Schroyer. Interrupting the beginning proceedings of the impeachment hearing. Perfect person to do this. It's perfectly consistent with the Republican perspective on all of this.
Order in the room. Order in the room.
Trump, and they're simply removing because they don't like it. Americans are sick of your impeachment, sir. Sick of the Democrat treason. We know
Trump is innocent.
Exactly. Thank you.
The only Committee thing I would tell you is that guy was dressed impeccably, and that I think is, you know, clean for Gene. I think that's a good move. Beyond that, I would say no. Here's a here's Trump's approval rating under impeachment. Like I say, we know that in terms of House members who have voted for this, impeachment appears, at least according, if we were to believe Trump's campaign manager accidentally, that it is in many places actually doing better than the actual Democratic candidates who are looking to win re-election. But here is, you can see where do you support or oppose impeaching Donald Trump? Basically, these trend lines flipped when Pelosi announced the impeachment and have basically remained more or less static.
I'm surprised Dimash's call. I mean, maybe not surprised, but that seemed to move the needle a little bit. I mean, well, maybe combined with Warren and the end of the Mueller investigation.
Yeah, I think when Amash did, it basically said, like, this is, I mean, that is the value of even one person coming out and saying it. It pierces a certain bubble. Now, it would have been more effective if he remained a Republican, but he had his own brand to have to deal with. You'll recall the Mueller testimony happened after Amash called for impeachment.
Do they break it down by party as well?
They do in the civics thing. And it is a split, I think, in terms of independence. This is from the civics, CIVIQS poll. Let's see here. I'll go to parties.
It's like, if I had to guess, I'd say that it breaks down along roughly partisan lines.
Well, yes. And independents are largely split. You have all respondents, 51% oppose. In terms of, let's see if I can get these. Okay, so subgroups. Republicans, 92% oppose. Younger people, slightly different in terms of Republicans, but for the most part, no. Democrat, 91% of Democrats support. Non-college graduate, college graduate, more or less the same. Everybody right up there. Independents, more or less statistically the same, 47 support, 48 oppose. We know that right-leaning people identify as independent more often than not. But young independents, 58%, 18 to 34, 35 to 49, 48% support. So it's older folks on the independent side. But yeah, this is we're in a very polarized time. And I suspect that most of the people who vote for Republican are going to be for Donald Trump are going to be Republican. Most who vote for whoever the Democrat is are going to be Democrats. And then you're going to see a split. But the point is that what we don't know is the counterfactual. What's going on if we're not impeaching? Would we be having a more vigorous debate about healthcare in this country? Who would be leading this debate? The impeachment hearings have basically freed up candidates on the campaign trail to not talk about impeachment because it's happening. They don't have to call for it because there's obviously a clear desire by Democratic voters to impeach this guy. That's why it happened in the first place. But now the presidential campaigns don't have to talk about it. I do think there's a liability for progressives in the event that impeachment happens in January. You're not going to be able to, if you're Bernie or Warren, be on the ground in Iowa. It's not clear that it's 100% sure that it's going to happen in January, but I would say it's pretty close to being 100%. But who knows? Personally, I would keep it going for a longer period of time. But, I don't know why they wouldn't, frankly.
You need to widen the scope to keep it going.
Yeah, I've heard some theories that supposedly they're trying to make it look like it's going forward quickly, and they're actually waiting for the financials to come through the court system, because there have been courts that have ruled that his financial stuff should be released. I don't buy that theory. You don't need to have this on Monday. You have it on Friday. You know, nobody was clamoring, we need this on the first day of the week at 9 a.m. I just don't think that's the strategy, but who knows? But nevertheless, the net, and I would also argue that if we were not impeaching Donald Trump right now, all of the stuff that Rudy Giuliani was digging up about 2016, about the Bidens, it could be about, for all I know, they could have brought in other people. They would be building a case right now and dumping it. I mean, who's to say that Bill Barr's investigators, who are going to be, some of whom are going to be releasing a report today, particularly the special the prosecutor he appointed, and I don't know when he's supposed to release his report. We were supposedly going to get it now, but it's been delayed. Who's to say that that guy wouldn't have felt more pressure based upon everything that's been revealed? As I mean, they're all counterfactuals, but something would be going on. And I do not know what that something would be, but if I had to guess, it would be Donald Trump driving the narrative, as opposed to what we see now, where Donald Trump is on his heels. And that has to be a good thing, it seems to me.
No doubt. And by the way, on the flip side, there's no positive scenario for Joe Biden having his kid do this. So, I mean, it answers some concerns on the left, which I think are valid, about this distracting from bigger issues. But then on the other hand, it's like, yeah, the best case scenario of neutralizing the Biden story is an impeachment process, because it's a bad story.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah, I understand why they need to do this, and I understand why it would be much worse if they didn't, probably. I mean, it's hard to prove a counterfactual,
right?
But yeah, but it is still a little bit hard for progressives to get excited about something that may help Democrats slightly and may stave off something way worse from happening in our political landscape, you know. But I get it.
I'm progressive. I'm pretty excited about it, but I can understand why some people, it's just not their
like
bag.
The outcome is that something way worse didn't happen versus.
Well, and I would also argue that it's going to be very, very helpful in the context of the Senate. I mean, it is. If the Democrats take the Senate, unless they take it by sort of like ungodly, surprising margins, I think it's going to be quite clear that this impeachment vote, Susan Collins, where there is 60% desire, maybe more, to impeach Donald Trump in Maine, for instance. I mean, if you just go down the list. In fact, here, this has...
She in particular is screwed.
Well, I mean, she is in particular.
Really,
but for instance, in Georgia, 55% support impeachment.
Georgia's a lean blue state without voter suppression.
Now, that is why Collins was not made the acting senator. Like, they don't want anybody in Congress who's going to, you know, they're going to have a new senator. She's going to go in there and she's going to take that vote. I'm sorry. Wait, that's independent. I believe it's 50-50. Hold on one second. Apologies. That did
but
seem
a little.
You mean
60% among independents? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's 60. It's 55% among independents in Georgia. But let me give you the.
Yeah. What's the full state total?
The full state total. Let's see.
Just a quick note while you're looking that up. The Iowa caucus is February 3rd.
Oh wow. Okay. Yep. So it's a little bit. I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's closer to 50-50. In Georgia, 48 support 49 oppose. But okay. Those independents, as I said, 55%. But still, 50-50 on impeachment is exactly the type of person who doesn't want to make that vote. Because it's clear that it's not driving. Voting against impeachment is not going to drive voters out on your side, on the Republican side. It's going to, who is it going to piss off is the question. That's Georgia. Let's look at where else do we have this? Maine. 62% support impeachment. What's Susan Collins going to do? Let's look at North Carolina. Again, 48% support, 49% oppose. That is a very scary place for Tom Tillis to be in.
Well, I think, I mean, we all know they're going to not. I mean, it would be truly stunning if any of them voted to actually remove him from office. I don't anticipate any of that. What I think,
Colorado, 55% support impeachment.
So what we already know, I mean, we're just going to go in a general and they're going to see how effective it is. I mean, right? Like, we already know the answer to that. None of them are going to vote to remove him from office. I think it is more likely that Mitch McConnell would attempt to, as Kevin Cruz was making this point on Mehdi Hasan's show, that, you know, McConnell would try to have a sit down with Trump. That's obviously not going to happen either. So,
and get him to release a couple of people. Yes.
It's not going to happen.
No.
So, you know, we're going to go into a general. All these people are going to vote against it. And maybe the idea is to just, you know, it's in the back of people's heads. Who knows?
Well, if I'm running against Susan Collins, I'm going to do an ad where I morph Susan Collins' face into Donald Trump.
Oh, you would do that.
How many Republicans are there like that, though?
I think there's at least a half a dozen in the Senate. I've just gone through three or four, but I would also say Cory Gardner. I would also say, was it Sally McAdams? I always get her name wrong. I don't know why. I make up an entire name for her.
I don't know what her real name is.
I don't think I have any idea. Somebody's got to correct me every time I keep doing it wrong. She's in Arizona. But Joni Ernst also, Tom Tillis. I think there's, in Georgia, you've got two of them running for a re-election.
I think, though, in order for them to pay in those states like that, you need a lot of other things to be going right.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of, with the exception, I mean, Collins is pulling off a balancing act that I don't think she can anymore. Because, I mean, number one, she's proven that for all of her supposed moderation, she really is a Republican operative. And that's, I think, really who she is.
And well, LaPage, she's a Republican elected leader. It's Martha McSally.
Well, of course she's a Republican elected leader, but people like Lincoln Chafee was a Republican elected leader. He was not a Republican. Like, she has a clear commitment to the Republican Party winning in a way that a lot of people were, I don't think, understood correctly.
You mean she's almost as committed to the project as Joe Biden?
Yeah, exactly. But if she does anything, I mean, LaPage will primary her and destroy her. I mean, that's the thing with Maine is that Maine is particularly weird because it's legitimately a slightly blue state. But it's not like the rest of like the New England Republican Party, which doesn't send people nationally anymore, but can still elect like these random like Republicans that don't exist anywhere else in the country to be governors in Vermont or Massachusetts. It's not only hard right, I would say it's anticipatory hard right. Like LaPage is one of the people you could look at to anticipate Trump on a very personal and stylistic level.
But that's where we are on impeachment. We will see going forward.
I would also just add, you know, you think about, let's say the best case scenario, Bernie wins the primary, like, or at least is really well positioned to win it. I think it's good to have this sort of thing going on because it's going to give the people like who might stay home. They're not going to stay home against Bernie when there's an impeachment going on. Right. They're going to want to give anybody the centers, regardless of who's the top of the ticket. So as far as disciplining like centrists who might like donut people who might like not like Bernie as the nominee, I think all this stuff is good for that.
I definitely think so. There's no negatives that I can come up with here other than if it happens in January, it's going to sideline, it's going to keep, Warren and Sanders in Washington instead of Iowa. And that may benefit Sanders more, frankly, than Warren, because he's been there already. Like, he's probably met 85% of the state at this point.
He also has from more powerful surrogate game.
And so, but who knows? But that's the only downside I can see. And that's still hypothetical. We don't know when this trial is going to happen, and we don't know how long it's going to be in the Senate. The longer it plays out, I would imagine, the more painful it is for some of these Republicans. John Roberts is supposedly going to run the whole thing, so we will see. But we'll have a better notion of that in some time. Let's take a quick break and head to... We'll do one Mayor Pete, and then we'll... I was stunned by this. And let's just be fair about this. Have they issued some type of correction on this? Where Mayor Pete is Mayor Pete. Pete Buttigieg.
His name is Mayo Pete. Get it right.
It's Mayo Pete. And also, I like, forgetting her name, but a host on The Real News pointed out, she said that mostly, like, it's fake affectionate and just, it's Buttigieg. You could figure out how to pronounce his last name.
Right.
We don't Buttigieg. Need to play into this nonsense. Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg.
And so Pete Buttigieg, small town mayor, Pete Buttigieg, small town mayor. Have they come out, just to be fair, have they issued any type of, like, he didn't hear what he said, or he never listens to anybody when he actually pretends like he is? Because he's asked about getting big money out of politics and really just offers a decided, sort of, maybe he's just taking this from Joe Biden. I mean, where it's like, well, you're going to want to vote for somebody else if you don't want money corrupting politics. Now, to be fair, he is in the midst of a quasi scandal that seems to be brewing. He will not allow anybody into any of his fundraisers to report. Now, everybody has done this on some measure or another. I mean, of course, like, Bernie doesn't hold these big thing fundraisers, so reporters aren't as interested in going, probably. But you get these big donor fundraisers. Warren's not doing that either, though, of course, she did as a senator and transferred some of that money. But they're not ongoing. Biden is doing these big money fundraisers. And apparently he allows one reporter in who functions as sort of a pool reporter. Buttigieg, it's like, I don't know, sort of CIA level security in terms of getting in there. And maybe that's why he's decided the best thing for me to do is just to be unabashed about it. So when someone asks if I'm going to get money out of politics, this is the way I respond. Now, people can look at this and see if he's actually listening or not, or just he's really good at pretending he's listening. I don't know, but play this. Yeah. I wanted to ask you if you think that taking big money out of politics includes not taking money off of billionaires and closed doors fundraisers. And he says no. There it is.
A moment of honesty.
Yeah. Nope. I'm not taking big money out of, let's play that again. Taking money, big money out of politics does not include not taking monies from billionaires or closed door fundraisers with other billionaires and millionaires.
What does it include then?
He seemed pretty happy about the answer, though.
If I was going to do spin for them, I would say he heard the question exactly opposite.
Yeah. Right. Do you, what's that? What?
Like, do you accept money? I mean, I guess he does, so he can't.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I'd be curious as to what the spin is on that. We have him responding.
He's not divisive. That's the, I mean, honestly, that's his point.
Well, there you go, folks. All right. We're going to take a quick break. head into the fun half, just a reminder, this show relies on you. You! It's listeners for its support. You can support this program by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. When you go there, you can do a one-off donation if you want there now. We fixed that. Yeah. You can sign up. You can gift things. People have got to, I don't know, whoever owns Cuck Nation's got to redirect that. But you can go to jointhemajorityreport.com. You can give a gift of the Majority Report. The whole system takes care of it. Super easy. Again, if you're one of those folks who wants the fun half, but you don't have the means, send us an email, majorityreporters@gmail.com. Got to wait a little bit, but we will get there to you, I promise. Also, remember, we give you the... you support the free show. We give it to you without commercials, and you get the fun half as well. And we've got a lot of fun stuff. Oh, don't forget, send us your best of recommendations, your questions about memes. And what was the last thing that we had? Oh, your charity suggestions. So if you're sending us a best of, put best of in the subject line. If you're sending us a question about memes, send us the question with a memes in the subject line. And if you have a charity suggestion, send us one that says charity in the subject line. And don't forget justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, you get 10% off. But right now at Just Coffee, I believe it is still, they still have for a couple more days, they're 30% off. So you don't even need the coupon. I'm not sure about that. Yes, it's the 30% off right now, I think. Is it still going on? Well, check it out. If you know, try the Majority Report coupon, but it's a great time to go in and enjoy some Just Coffee. You're going to love it, folks. Great company. Fair trade, co-op owned. They support their farmers. It really is an amazing place, and the coffee is terrific. Also, don't forget, sign up for the AM Quickie, amquickie.com. Michael, today is Monday. Tomorrow must be Tuesday.
Indeed. On tomorrow's show, we're doing a stream at 6 with Camille from Telesaur to talk about new OAS report on Dominica and the ongoing coup in Bolivia. Then for the 7 o'clock main show, Chris Nineham is joining us to talk about prospects for the Corbyn project, both basically in the last 48 hours of the election in the UK, and then in multiple scenarios that might occur afterwards, and how to make climate change not become harnessed by the right. Marissa Baradarin is also going to be returning to the show and talking about the bigger picture of impeachment and executive power. Patreon.com/TMBS. Get all of the Sunday shows and post games and grab your tickets to the Bell House February 7th live show with Alona and Harvey and a bunch of other people. Matt Binder.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Pretty Bad Lefty. Brandon Sutton on the majority.fm homepage.
Folks, we'll talk more about this in the fun half, but it's now the Inspector General report is made public. Apparently it has not been made public yet, but apparently Richard Blumenthal has reviewed it, and it says it demolishes some of the conservatives' assertions of the origins of the probe, though his investigator did find some problems, which I would imagine is always the case, but we will see. It'll be released later today. Sorry, go ahead. Jamie.
Oh, this week on the Antifada, Sean KB speaks with Do Not Eat, who is a socialist YouTuber who focuses on public transit, about the film Who Framed Roger Rabbit and what it says about public transit and how public transit fits into socialism more generally. Also, I'm really excited. We have an episode coming out on Wednesday with Alex Vitale, author of The End of Policing. He wrote a great book, which is out now on Verso, about the history of the modern police state and how it's failed on basically every friend, or succeeded if you recognize its true purpose as being oppressing the populace. But he's so good. He's done so much good work on this stuff, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. So patreon.com/theantifada.
Literary Hangover, we did that play everyone read in elementary or middle school, Arthur Miller's The Crucible, and we talk about how that Salem witch trials story, what that has to bear on the House Un-American Activities Committee and Marilyn Monroe, so check that out.
All right, folks, quick break, fun half.
Left is best.
Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude.
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 You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27, 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd,
don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh. Grandpa.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jab.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
I think I might be a Nazi.
Agreed.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. Let's I wanna just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me.
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.